If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to John 11. John 11, and we will start there. Okay, so we're at the end. Can't believe we're at the end. It just feels like we just started. And we are learning how to trust more completely, right? And so let's say our verse together, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So we have to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we have been learning over and over and over again the foundations for trust, right? And let's say them together. Truth, rest, unswerving, surrender, and now timing. Very good. You girls are just awesome. So we're going to quickly look over this. Well, I don't know if we quickly, but I'll try to make it quickly. This is a really, I'm typing it and I'm just like, God, you're so good. Oh, you're so good. It just really blessed my heart, this story. And this one is timing, but the title would be this: Loose Her and Let Her Go. Don't you love that? Loose her and let her go. Timing. So before I met Steve, I was late 20s. And you talk about questioning God's timing. I had been helping as a youth pastor, like assistant youth pastor in a church, and I married off four of the girls from my small group before myself. I remember at the last wedding I went to, the mom pulled me aside and said, "Are you ever going to get married?" I was like, "I hope so." You know, I mean, that was, I mean, to be honest, that's all I ever wanted. I just wanted to be a wife and a mom. And, but you know what? Again, here we go back to that. We surrender. We surrender our ideas for our lives, okay? And I look back now, and if you would have told me I had been, would be at eight different countries in less than 18 months, I would have told you, you are out of your mind. First of all, I'm a USA girl, and I don't go nowhere. I mean, they would have trips to Mexico, and I'd say, have a good time. I'll pray for you. I'll help you get there. I'll give you the money. But I'm not going there, right? But God knew what I needed in my life, even though I didn't know that I needed it. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important when we trust and we surrender and we're walking in the truth and we're resting in Him, we also have to know that His timings are perfect, okay? And His timing for my life was not to marry someone at 18. I thought it was. Oh, man, I thought it was. I mean, from 18 on, I was a-looking and wasting a lot of time a-looking. You know what I'm saying? Because I was trying to take my truth and cram it into the time frame that God had. And can I tell you something? It doesn't work. You get a lot of heartache. You get a lot of bummers, a lot of tears when you try to do things your way instead of waiting on God's timing. Okay? So again, I went to eight different countries in less than 18 months. And it changed me. It changed me. It was like I could see life through other people's eyes that I didn't realize I needed to see that going forth in ministry. It gave me a passion for missions. I mean, I'd always liked missions a little. You know, back in the day when they would do missions, it was like, it was boring. It was like the worst service ever. Not at Redeemed Church. Mission Sundays for us, they're good Sundays. We get excited, right? We do some shouting and praising. That's how it should be. But I don't know if that anointing would have been on me if I hadn't gone and seen. You see what I'm saying? And so it's important. And I learned something about myself in those years. To be honest, I don't know if I'd have been the greatest mom at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. We keep on going, right? I remember it was like when I had Lacey, I just felt like I don't need to do anything else but be with this child. And I don't know if I'd have felt that at 18. I might have thought, what if I need to go? Or what if I need to do this? You see, God knows us in a way, like I said, that we almost don't fully understand ourselves. And when you wait for His timing, when my children finally came, when my husband finally came, it was like treasure. It was like I treasured Him, right? When my children came, I treasured them. We watched some of the home videos, and they're all just crawling all over me. And I think it was Lacey and Linda like, how did you handle that? We're like all over you as little kids. I was like, my blessing was just crawling all over me. You know, just go for it, you know? I mean, it was just, I was living my dream. I didn't need anything else. Does that make sense? And so it's about the timing. Loose her and let her go. Sometimes we don't know that we need to be loosed of something so we can go forward. And that's what we're going to see about timing, okay? So if you have your Bibles, open up John 11. And this is a longer passage, so I'm going to paraphrase until I get to the points we need to go to, okay? So this is the story of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And like my cousin said, I definitely identify with Martha. I need to work a little bit more on Mary. But Martha has a lot of good qualities about her, I'm just saying, okay? And so this was Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And it was Mary who had anointed Jesus with the fragrance and wiped his feet and her hair. And her brother was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to Jesus, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Say, "But for the glory of God." "That the Son of God may be glorified through it." Say, "Glorified through it." And then you go through the next part of this passage and explains how Jesus, instead of leaving right away, he waits 2 days more before he leaves on his journey. Say, 2 days more. 2 days more. And later in the passage, we learn that it was several days before he actually made it there, right? It was a total of 4 days before he actually got there. These were people that he loved. Are you listening? These are people that he loved. Jesus loved Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. They were dear to him. And he waited 4 days to get there. Now, my book, that's a little off on his timing. You see why it's important to know God's timing is the best timing, right? Okay. So then we get down to 17. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. See, Martha's got some good qualities. She went to Jesus. I like Martha. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." What was she saying? I got faith. I've got faith. Even now, if you'd have been here, he would have been saved. But even now, I still believe, okay? And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So she's knowledgeable. She knows the word. And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Whoo! We need to say more of that. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God who has come into the world." So what was she saying? She was saying, "I recognize you as the truth. I recognize you as the Son of God. I recognize you as my answer." Okay? Is her brother alive yet? Nope. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come, and he's calling for you." And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but it was in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were in the house and comforting her saw that Mary had rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying to him, listen to this, "Lord, if you have been here," what did her sister say too? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They both had elements of faith, right? They both believed if Jesus was there, then their brother would not have died. Therefore, Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with him weeping, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" Then they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And the smallest verse in the entire Bible, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the blind eyes and also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. I love Martha. For he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing here, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Amazing, amazing story. Amazing story. But we get to read the whole story, right? We get to know the start from the finish. So we know good things are coming, right? But Mary and Martha did not. All they knew was their brother had died. And God's timelines are not our timelines, right? He waited, and he tells them why he waited. He waited so that what? The glory of God would be seen, so that people would realize the power of God flowing through him. Amen? So first, both sisters, they knew that if Jesus had been there, that their brother wouldn't have died, right? But they both felt like he was too late. You see, their initial response is, if you had been here. Well, he's here. So why didn't they say, now that you're here, let's go to the tomb, right? And some people might say, well, you know, that's a lot, believing that someone could be raised from the dead. Do you realize that Jesus has already raised two other people from the dead at this point? And if you're good friends with somebody, don't you think you tell them stories about things that happened in your life? I'm telling you, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha knew about Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead, and they also knew about the young man who was the only son of a widow going through a town that they were having the funeral procession, and Jesus interrupts the whole thing and raises the young man back to life. That's two times. They already knew about the power of God. They had faith to believe if he had been there, but their faith needed to be increased that he could still do it. Do you see, sometimes we have faith with, well, if God, if you'd have just come through in my timeline, I'm sure you could have done it. But now we're past the point. No, we don't say that. We always say, Lord, you're here now? Okay, I'll take your timeline. Amen? When I was, I think I was 26 at the time, I was, I had actually met with LaDonna, which is Leanne's sister. She'd invited me down to come and hang out with her at Christmas, and I had gone down to California, and I was sitting in a church service, and I was very much a Mary and Martha at that point. Lord, if you would have just been here, I'm sure I would have found somebody by now, right? And I remember distinctly sitting in her church, and it was a Wednesday night, there wasn't very many people, and I was sitting in the pew, and I'm just crying like a baby, feeling sorry for myself, feeling real sorry, okay? And I was just, Lord, did you forget me? For real, I've served you. You know, we go through the whole thing. I've served you with my whole heart, laid down my life. Like, we have to convince him, right? He already knows. Like, you know, you lived your life before him, so he pretty much knows, right? And I remember that he took me back as a little girl to a Christmas that we had where my parents had blessed my brother and I with a very large Christmas gift, but they had hid it in the garage. And I really wanted this doll, Chrissy. And she was this doll that you could pull out her hair and it would grow long. And then it had this little thing on the back that you could pull it and it would shorten it to a bob. It was cool, okay? I'm just saying, it was really, really cool. And I wanted it with all my heart. I don't know how old I was, 8 or 9, maybe younger. And I remember we went through all the presents and we were thinking, you know, this was it, because they were all out. They always came out. And we got to the end and I remember going, I didn't get a Chrissy. And I think I might have actually gone to my room and cried. Not that I was spoiled, but you know, you just kind of, you really want that thing, right? And then I remember my parents calling my brother and I out, and I might have gotten reprimanded maybe a little bit for being, you know, having a bad attitude and not being grateful, because we need to be grateful for what's in our lives, right? Because if we're not grateful, we might X out the plan of God because we're so focused on our ungratefulness, okay? And so I remember they called us back out, and my dad's like, come here, you guys. And we walked out in the garage, and lo and behold, there was my Chrissy doll. And I was so excited, and I just ran, hugged the package. Oh, I played with her for hours. Anyway, the Lord took me back to that moment, and he said, you remember that Chrissy doll? It was there for you, but it was hidden until the right time. And he said, there is a husband out there for you, but he will remain hidden until the right time. And it's time for you to surrender your timeline and grab hold of mine. And something changed in me. I thought, Lord, why did I wait so long? You know, a lightness. I was like, okay, I can move forward in life. I can do this now, right? Because I can accept God has a timeline because he loves me and he has a plan and a purpose for me. Amen. When we limit God by our expectations of timelines, we really hurt ourselves. That's who gets hurt, ourselves. Because sometimes we try to push things into a timeline that don't belong. And you know it. Come on, let's just be real. You know when you're trying to make something happen that's not supposed to happen, and we do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? We just really, we're going to do it, doggone it. I want this. I don't care if he's the right person. I don't care if this is the right car. I don't care if this is the right job. I want this thing, and I'm going to go for it because, God, you're taking too long. Right? I mean, that's, we do that, right? But we only end up hurting ourselves. We wrap ourselves, listen to this, we wrap ourselves in bitterness, disappointment, anger, and really a whole gamut of feelings that wrap around us like grave clothes. Grave clothes. You could be wearing grave clothes if you don't wait for God's timeline. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be bound like that. I don't want to be bound like that. We want to be loosed. Amen? Yes. When we're loosed and let go, then amazing things happen. Our timelines are not God's, but both sisters knew that Jesus had the ability to do it. I think that I just said that. Where am I at? Oh, I copied it. Okay. Here's the next one. Loose her and let her go. Don't let common sense blind you to your time. I'm going to say that again. Don't let common sense blind you to your time. Practicality can interfere with faith. I told you already, I love Martha. And I love who she is because I recognize that I would probably say the same thing. They're standing outside the tomb and Jesus says, roll it away. And I would be just like her to go, Jesus, come here. He's been in there for 4 days. The smell that's going to come out is going to knock these people out here. We probably should maybe ask them to leave or, you know, give it a moment to air out and then they'll become clean. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to convince Jesus of how to be politically correct, how to do this the right way, right? But when we get so caught up in practicality, sometimes we limit God's ability to perform his timeline. Because of the practical side. You know, well, Lord, you know, I don't know where you're going to bring him from. Because, you know, at that point, our church had closed. And I just worked a job as a nanny. And, you know, basically I was home and living at the house with my parents at this point. And, we're, you know, practically speaking, there aren't a lot of opportunities here, Lord, for me to meet someone. So I'm not really sure how you're going to do this. You know, the practical side of it. Well, Lord, when I look at my finances, practically speaking, this is not possible. And let me explain to you why. Do you ever think that God just laughs when we try to explain to him why something isn't going to work? And he's up there going, oh, listen, but you could just save us both a lot of trouble if you would just be quiet and just work with me on this, right? Because again, we're trying to make our timeline work in his from a practical perspective. And there's nothing wrong with having common sense and practicality, but it can't be to the point where it wipes out your faith or it makes you blind to see that your miracle is about to happen. What was Jesus doing? He wasn't just opening the tomb to open the tomb. He was opening it up, what? To raise her brother from the dead. Jesus didn't care what the smell was like. He was about to bring a dead man out alive, right? This wasn't a moment for practicality. Amen? But he speaks to her, and what happens next? It says, they rolled the stone away. They couldn't have rolled the stone away without the sister's permission. So their permission was given. He didn't have to ask Martha again. She said, roll it away. We'll deal with the stench, right? Amen. Don't let practicality get in the way. Well, I almost missed my time. I know I wouldn't miss it because the Lord would have provided it, but I did almost miss it. Because sometimes in his grace, God can bring us back around again. But practicality speaking, I did not see one reason why I should be going to this rehearsal. My dad had come home. He had started to go check out some churches in the area. And like I said, I was dealing with working through not being a pastor anymore and all these different things. And he came home, and I had earlier, just right around the time in December, I had told the Lord, I'm just going to put myself under my dad's covering. And I just feel like I need to, you know, submit to his covering. He's a godly dad, a lot of wisdom, and I had no idea what the Lord was going to do next. So my dad comes. I was living in the basement of my parents' house at this point, and he comes down the stairs, and he has this piece of paper, and he goes, you need to do this. I was like, what? He goes, this, you need to do this. I was like, well, what is this? I look at it, and I'm like, oh, it's a rehearsal for a play at a church. Is this a church you're going to? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, Dad, this is a mega church, okay? I mean, I might sing, but I've seen some of these girls sing at that church. They don't need me to sing in this thing. And he said, you need to do this. And instantly in my heart, I heard, you said you'd submit. You said you would come under his covering. If he's saying to do this, you need to listen. So I went with a merry heart. No, I didn't go with a merry heart. Mm-mm. I went kicking and screaming, everything I could think of. My little conversation with the Lord, this is the dumbest thing, worst waste of an evening I can even imagine. What am I going to do? Go in here and sing for someone? I'm not going to make it. I mean, I just went on and on and on in my head, walked through the side door, and there he was. And all of a sudden, my whole world changed. And I was like, Dad, I love you, Dad. I love you. And he was down front. But the problem I had with that was he was carrying around a clipboard like this all night. And I told the Lord, I cannot have these feelings for a married man. He cannot be married. He cannot, right? I mean, I did the audition. I sang like I have never sung before. Glory to God in the highest, right? And I heard later on we were swapping stories, and he was next to the camera guy, and he goes, you need to go zoom in closer. Zoom in a little closer. He said, to the point, the guy goes, what are you doing? He goes, I want a face shot. Can you zoom in a little closer? And he goes, what? You've never done that before. He goes, I just might need to just zoom in closer. And we joke that I tried out for more that night than a part in a play. I was trying out for the wife position. You know, I go home, and I mean, all the way home, I'm just tears. I just knew as soon as I saw him. That people will say, I just know. You just know. And it just, you know. And I remember I came home, and my dad was sitting on the couch. I love you. Thank you so much for making me go. And he's like, did you get the part? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't care. I'm going to this church now. You know, I mean, it was timing, right? It was timing. And then even after that, the Lord told me, you don't go to him. You wait for him to come to you. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing story that we went through. But practicality could have ruled my decision that night. Practically speaking, they didn't need a singer. And guess what? I didn't even get to sing. Because they ran out of time for recording and money to record. And so I didn't know at that point, but my soon-to-be husband was asking me to lip sync. He said, we don't need a singer, but I do need someone to lip sync. Would you be willing to do that? And I said, absolutely. I will do whatever the Lord needs me to do, I will do. I was going to be in that play one way or another. I was going to sit every day in the crowd and look. Lord, this is a good view. couldn't see his ring. I couldn't see if he had a wedding ring the entire night. You better believe I was asking people as we exited, do you know if he's married? Is he married? I think it was like a week later that I found out he wasn't. But when you hear from the Lord, you need to step out. So we can't let practicality interfere. We can't, you know, let that rule our decisions. When you hear from the Lord, you have to step out. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, bound and a smell. I can tell you something. You can find a million excuses not to step out. A million excuses. When your time finally comes, you can find the excuses that you won't have to move. But I'm telling you today, those excuses will keep you from some of the greatest blessings in your life. So be practical, but not crazy practical where it interferes with your faith. And when the Lord tells you to step out, don't give excuses. Step out and do what he's asking you to do. When you hear the voice of the Lord, move. This is my favorite part. Loose him and let him go. God has a timing for each of us, and it's the right time. Not only is it for us, but it's for those that'll be impacted. See, Jesus' time on earth was very short at this point. A few chapters over, and we know he was crucified. Right? But it tells us that people came from miles to meet Lazarus. When Jesus was at a dinner, people came to the dinner, but not even to be with Jesus. They just, can I touch you? Oh, you were dead for 4 days. What was it like? I mean, can you imagine the questions? And it says that he was even subject to being scrutinized by the religious leaders because they were tired of hearing about how he had been dead for 4 days and being raised. And so many Jews were turning toward Jesus because it was the unrefutable truth that everybody knew he'd been dead and now he's alive. And how can this be? How can this be? And he was able to testify. Mary and Martha testified about this incredible miracle. Sometimes our timing isn't just for us. Sometimes our timing is because of the glory of God that will be so real and so powerful. People will be wanting to talk to you about, how did this happen? How did God do this? This is incredible, right? I mean, sometimes I listen to myself talk about Steve and I, and it does feel like a fairy tale a little bit. Right? But girls, you don't have to have a fairy tale that's fake. When you trust in the Lord and his timing, your fairy tale can be real. I'm not saying you don't have problems or issues, but I'm just telling you, when you wait on the Lord, he gives you the right person for you. If you're in a situation and you're waiting on the Lord, maybe it's for your children to be saved, and it feels like it's been so long since they've turned back to him. Don't panic. God has a timeline. And when it happens, it'll be so solid that nothing and no one will take that away from them. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you're looking for a different income, and it feels like that timing is taking so long. Don't panic. God has a plan. And you're like, but it almost is the point that it stinks. Right? It almost is the point where it stinks. Don't panic. Don't let practicality overrule your faith. Let God move and work in you. Because what does it say? It says that when Jesus called out and Lazarus came forth, what was the first thing he said? Unbind this man. He is not dead anymore. He was loosed, right? And that's what I feel happened to me when I met Steve. I was loosed. It was like, oh, hallelujah, right? I mean, just, we had so many miracles that happened in our relationship. It was to some degree, unbelievable. We had people on our very first time out, wasn't even really an official date, like the very first time he and I were alone someplace. We had a lady come up to our table and join our hands and speak over, like, a word over us. I was like, Lord, you're always telling me to slow down. I'm going to tell you something. Slow down. Whoa, wait a minute here. I mean, she's like just prophesying. And she like walks away and Steve's like, oh, who is she? I'm like, you don't know her? And he goes, I don't know her. Do you know her? I'm like, I don't know who that woman is. We're both like looking around. Where'd she go? We couldn't find her. I mean, it was like supernatural. I was like, okay, how do you talk to somebody that this is the first time you've talked to them after that happens? Where do we go from here? I mean, we can't say let's get married today, right? Because I don't even know you. But that's what I'm saying. It was just phenomenal. And then we get to our engagement party, and my grandma meets Steve's mom. And they recognize each other because, lo and behold, they had gone to a women's Bible study for years together. And when she was pregnant with Steve, my grandma prayed for him. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's timeline. I'm talking about amazing supernatural things. Is he the perfect person? No. Am I the perfect person? No. But we were the right combination that God had for each of us. Does that make sense? And I can tell you, I mean, we've had maybe 5 or 6 arguments in our lifetime. We just don't argue about stuff. We agree about things. I look back in my life now at some of the people that I tried to make fit in my timeline, I never would have lasted. I mean, I have certain values in my life that I cannot live with swearing. I can't do it. It just nails on a chalkboard for me. So like, I don't like rated R movies. It's just something that just really bothers me, right? And every person I picked in the past, I was willing to compromise for that because that was in their life, not Steve's. He's like, I hope it's okay, but I don't do this. And I was like, no way. I'm like, what about this? And he goes, no, I don't do that either. I'm like, yes, okay, yes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The right person for you, the right situation for you, the right job for you that will supersede anything you could imagine if you will but wait on his timeline. And I don't care how long it feels. I don't care how much you've been waiting or how long you've been waiting. Just like that, God can say, I can restore all the years the locust stole. I can restore all those times that you felt like my life is wasting away. I went from nothing to married with 4 kids in 6 years. Boom, 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 boom. I had everything I wanted. It was like, Lord, this is incredible. This is miraculous. And he said, this is my timing. This is my timing. Same thing with our church. I knew in my heart that someday my husband and I would have our own church. I knew that. I knew it for years. Steve's like, that was the one thing that I'd really pray about, because he was like, I don't do the head pastor thing. He's like, I don't mind serving, but I don't want to be a head pastor. And I was like, Lord, I know this is the right person. The Lord said, timing. I said, well, I waited a long time for him, so I can wait even longer if you want to start a church later, you know? So, but he kept telling me over and over again through the years, I'm meant to serve under. I'm the one that comes alongside, the armor bearer, and helps the men of God. But I knew in my heart, and I'll never forget, I can see us sitting on the couch one night, and he was sitting on this side, and I was sitting on this side, and the kids were in bed, and he looked at me and goes, I got to tell you something. And I was like, okay. And he's like, I feel like the Lord told me that I'm not going to serve under anybody anymore because he's calling me to be a head pastor. And I was like, okay, don't scream. Don't scare him. I went, the Lord showed you that. And he's like, yeah, he did. How do you feel about that? And I'm like, fabulous. I feel great. I feel wonderful. This is awesome, right? I mean, it was like, it was so amazing when he told me. Did it happen right away? No. Timing. The Lord and I had a conversation right after he and I had that conversation. I told him, I said, Lord, you know, I'm ready whenever you are. But can Luke be a little bit older? Because I know as a pastor's wife, I'll have to do more things than I do right now. And I want him, he's my ministry first. The older ones were old enough to be able to handle it. I said, but can he be a little bit older? I think it was like 3 years later and Luke was 5. And it was like, phew. Our kids have served with us since day one. Never complained, never argued, never fussed. You know, some people say they can't get their kids up in the morning to go to church. I've never had that with my children. Never. Never. And we have actually had one of those churches that you have to set up and tear down every week, and they have set up and torn down church for 13 years with us. Phenomenal. Timing. Say it with me. Timing. when you try to get something in the wrong timing, it doesn't just affect you, it affects your family. It affects your children. That's why it's so important that we relax in the presence of God and trust his timing. Why? So it can bring glory to God, right? That's what it's all about, to bring glory to God so that others see and they go, look what the Lord has done. Look at this. Tell us more. Tell us more when you share your testimonies. Our timing is so vital, but our timing is very, very, very rarely God's timing. I mean, don't you love it when you pray that thing you've been looking for and you get it the next day? It's like, woo, that was good, right? Because normally it doesn't happen that way. Normally there's a season, but it's like a sunflower. When a farmer puts the sunflower seed in the ground, it takes time. It takes time for that to germinate. It takes time for it to grow deep into the ground and then start growing upwards. I'll never forget when we were going to see my brother in North Dakota for his graduation. I had never seen sunflower fields before. Okay, so when we first drove through the first set, I was like, I'm just literally talking like Christina's picture. It was, you could not see the end of sunflowers. We're driving down the middle and there's sunflowers and sunflowers. It was like, this is so amazing. There's so many of them, right? But an hour later, I was like, there's so many of them still. I was just like, miles and miles of sunflowers, right? And even though it might have gotten boring as far as scenery for, you know, a young adult, you have miles and miles of harvest. When that seed goes in the ground and it comes up, and we know that that seed is not just meant for the farmer. He doesn't keep, I'm pretty sure, he doesn't keep miles and miles and acres of those sunflowers just for himself, right? What does he do? He shares it with someone else. But he knows there's a time frame between the time you plant the seed and the time that you harvest. And we need to have a sunflower farmer's mentality. When we plant a seed, we need to be willing to wait. We have the truth. This seed is going to produce something. Amen? We can rest in the fact, patiently waiting for it to produce. We're unswerving. We know it's coming. And we're speaking over it. There's going to be a great harvest, a huge harvest. We're surrendered, right, to his plan and not ours. And then the timing, we know at some point we're going to look out there and they're going to be ripe for harvest. And then it'll be the right time for that situation, the right time for that breakthrough, the right time for that miracle, the right time for that mate, the right time for your child to be set free and saved. Because God's timing, when it's his timing, it is perfect timing. And everything that you thought maybe you lost or got forgotten, all of a sudden is, and it's right there again. And it's better than you could ever imagine because it's his timing and his plan. Aren't you so glad for trust? And that's what this all goes back to. I was thinking about it, and the Lord said, really, everything in your life that you struggle with is some area of trust. Fear, you don't trust him to take care of you. Anxiety, you don't trust him with the future. Your finances, you don't trust him to provide, so you try to do it your way. Relationships, we don't trust him for the right timing. You see what I'm saying? It's like, I stopped and I thought, everything really comes back to trust. And so these five practical ways are so good for us to take forward and go out of here. Share them with your children, like I shared with Lane. Steve was working through something with work, and I was telling him about it. He's like, it makes it so simple. Because you just go back and say, if I'm struggling, which one of these is it? And then you can hit that point and get yourself back on track to trusting. And the more that you do this, the more easily trust will come, and you don't have to panic or freak out when something happens, right? You don't have to look at the situation or what the doctor says or what your child says or what, you know, all these things. It doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because I'm trusting the Lord. But all these things, I'm trusting the Lord. But what about, I'm trusting the Lord. Girlfriend calls, well, I heard, I'm trusting the Lord. You see, it's not that we're not acknowledging something. We're just saying, I don't trust this. I trust this. So at some point, because I'm speaking the truth over it, all of this has to change because this doesn't. Amen? So I just encourage you, as you go out from here, ask yourself daily, how am I doing with trust? If your friend's in this room and your friend is doing something and you're like, girl, check out your fingers. Which one we got going on here, right? Help each other. That's what we're supposed to do in these last days, is encourage each other and help each other. They're so simple. You can share them with your children, your friends, your family. If they're struggling, hey, I got this great trust thing. Let me help you with that. You don't have to go into all the details. Just simply share your testimony about how it impacted you. You don't have to remember all of the scriptures. I mean, if you do, that's great. But if you don't, just hit the basics to help them. Amen? And help get them in the Word. Because this is the only truth that's going to stand. That's it. When all is said and done, this is it right here. The truth of His Word. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to live a loosed and set free life. And that means I'm yielded now to His timing and His plans. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this amazing time that you've given us. I thank you for this, even this session, Father, of timing. You have the right timing for us. And God, I know, oh, do I know, how hard it is sometimes to wait. But when we wait on you, you are so faithful. You are so faithful, and you will provide the answer. You will provide the miracle. You will provide the way out. If we'll trust you. And I pray today, Father, these words would just, they wouldn't go away. We'd leave here and we just think about all these different aspects, the truth, the rest, unswerving, surrender, and timing, that they would just circle around in our hearts, God, and go deep inside us. And I pray, Father, we would not hold them in. We would share them. Share them with someone else. Even the gifts we've taken to give to somebody else, as we give them, saying, hey, can I tell you about what I learned? Here's a gift from the conference, but can I tell you about what I learned? And that we'd be bold and share with others what we've learned about trust. And Father, I just thank you for a covering, a protection over our hearts and minds, that the enemy would not be able to kill, steal, and destroy what we have heard over the last few days, that it won't be taken from us. I thank you, Father, it is going to grow to where we're going to feel like I did when I was in a young adult going through all those fields, that it's just never ending. The faithfulness of God is just never ending as we trust in you. Thank you, Lord, today for all you've done. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen.